All right, take your Bible this morning and go to the book of Judges, chapter 17 this morning. Judges chapter 17. You know what? I should have never let you all sit back down, should I? Amen. Because here we go. Y'all going to get your all's workout this morning. Amen. Up and down. All right. If you would stand to your feet this morning. Judges chapter 17. It is a joy to be here. We thank God for the wonderful day that He's given us. Amen. Certainly do love the Lord, and I'm glad that He loves me and has saved me. And if you're unsaved this morning, you can come and get saved this morning. I want you to know that. There's nothing keeping you from getting saved except yourself this morning. And you can trust Christ to be your personal Savior by simply believing in the death, the burial, and the resurrection, knowing that you're lost, and come and ask Him to save you. And you know what? He'll save you just like that. Amen. I'm glad to meet you. Judges chapter 17. As we begin to read in verse 1, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, 'The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it.' And his mother said, 'Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son.' And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, 'I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son.'" Now pay attention to what she says. "To make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee." Now I'm going to preach a little bit on this, but as I read this, this seems a little crazy to me. And what I mean by that is she said, "I wholly dedicated it to the Lord, but to make a molten image out of it." Now, we understand that the Lord wants none of that. And so the Bible said, "And yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, 'Which comest thou?' And he said unto him, 'I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place.' And Micah said unto him, 'Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals.' So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. And then said Micah, 'Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my preaching.'" Be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again for this lovely day that you've given us. We thank you for these dear people that have come. And Lord, we pray that they have already found a blessing from you in the singing this morning. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to walk hand in hand with you. And Lord, we pray for that day, as that last verse talked about, as the stars backward roll, when we get to see you upon your throne and we get to be at home with you. And Lord, we pray for that day. Even as John said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." We're looking forward to that. Lord, we pray this morning for one here that's lost. We pray that they might get saved. We pray, Lord, you deal with their heart. And Lord, we know you want to save them. We know that you will save them if they'll come to you. And I pray they'll move this morning. We pray as we look into the Word of God that you would just give us liberty to preach. Give us an unction from the Holy One. Touch us and anoint us afresh. And Lord, just touch our mind and our thoughts today. And hinder Satan out of this building this morning. And Lord, if somebody has a need, I pray that need would be met. Thank you for these dear people again that have come. We'll tell you that we love you. Thank you for saving us. Help us now while we might preach and save that sinner's nearest hell for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. As we look in this passage of Scripture, it's an unusual passage of Scripture, if you let me say that. But we're in the times of the judges. And four times you find written in the book of Judges right here, you find what he said in verse 6. You find that in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now I want you to keep that in your mind while we preach that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now we're going to look in chapter 18 later on in the message, but as we come to 18 and verse 31, the very last verse in that passage of Scripture, you find out that the Bible said, "And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh." Now you need to understand that there was no king, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes, but the house of God still remained in Shiloh. You have to understand that during the days of Joshua, when the children of Israel took the land of Canaan, that they come to Shiloh and they set up the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is the place where the covenant dwelt, the covenant rested, and the altar was, and the showbread was given, and all the sacrifices was made over there at the tabernacle. Now I'm telling you all this so that you'll have an understanding of what's going on, that God had not changed His mind about how He wanted folk and that to worship and to serve Him. I want you to get that in your mind right now, that God's house was still in Shiloh. God's service was still going on there, but Micah was trying to do it his way. And that's what I want to preach on today, is a man named Micah who was doing it his way. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, you find that, that they were without some direction, if you'd let me say that. It kind of reminded me of the time in 2 Chronicles when, when Asa was king over there, and a prophet come to Asa over there, and he said, "The Lord is with you while you be with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you." Now for a long season, Israel have been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without the law. But when they were in trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, and He was found of them. And let me say that I'm determined that that is the same truth today that is in a lot of churches and in a lot of people's homes and in their hearts. Is there without the true God? Amen. Hey, there's in Revelation chapter 3, when he talks about the Laodicean church over there, you come down to verse 20, and I know that I preach this a lot. I use this scripture for lost folk, but do you realize that he is talking to the church at Laodicea when he said, "Behold, I stand at the door knock." He was on the outside wanting to get in. Now that would be a shame this morning in churches, that the Lord is on the outside wanting to get in. And so we find that here in this passage of Scripture, that we look at Micah, and he is really no different than some people today. Now I hope that we, none of us, fit into this place of Micah right here. He is trying to serve God, if you let me say that, or have a form of service or a form of holiness toward God. But he's going about it all wrong in his way. Now he might have been ignorant of some truth, but I really don't think that he was. And I'll just go ahead and tell you why I don't think that he was. Because in his house of God, he set up an ephod and a teraphim, and he made him a priest. And he knew what God was doing down at the house of God in Shiloh. As a matter of fact, he was in Mount Ephraim. If you go look to see where Shiloh is, it was actually in the tribe of that piece of ground that was given to Ephraim. And they weren't far from where the house of God was. So that leads us, it'd be different if he was far, far off and he didn't have an understanding and he was ignorant of the truth. But I really believe that Micah was not ignorant of the truth. He was trying to do things his way. I want to look at three things about this man Micah, and we'll go home, or we'll go eat, or we'll go do something. Amen. But this morning, I hope that you don't fit into this right here. But if you do, I'm glad you can get right with the Lord. But number one, as we see about Micah, first of all, he was a dishonest man. What do you mean he was a dishonest man? The Bible said right here that he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest also of mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. So we find right here that first of all, his mother had 1,100 shekels of silver, and he took it from her and stole it. Now that's not a good sign, is it? Now, I don't know if that was going to be Micah's inheritance. I don't know how all that was set up. But nonetheless, he took it. He stole from her, and he took it. The one good thing about it was at least he brought it back to her. But he said, you know, that money that you've cursed. Now, I don't know if she was just cursing the day that it was stolen and using curse words, or if she actually was trying to put a curse on that money that whoever might spend it might be in trouble. I don't know. You ever been that way? Boy, you get somebody stole from you, don't you just say, boy, I hope that thing breaks into a million pieces or they die trying to use it or whatever, you know. I mean, we all get that way sometimes when something gets taken from us. But you know, the child of God should never be accused of stealing. Amen. Say amen right there, church. The Bible said, let him that stole steal no more. Ain't that right? But rather let him what? Rather let him labor and that with his hands. Let him with his hands work and labor with his hands the thing that is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. So he is a thief. Micah stole from his mother. And as we look at this, we're going to see that his mother was not much better. But you find that he stole from her but brought it back to her because she cursed it. And then his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord. So with one thought she curses and with another thought she blesses. As I read that the other day, as I was studying this message, my mind automatically run to the book of James. As James was talking about the tongue over there. And he said, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And so you find that, you know, we need to guard our mouth and our tongue, shouldn't we? You ever been with people on the job that has got a mouth about like a sailor and concussed, and then they want to talk about going to church? Yeah, they're not doing any good to the service of Christ. I'll just be honest with you. As a lot of people talk about being a Sunday school teacher or a song leader or even a preacher. And I mean, they've got a filthy mouth and then they want to talk about the Lord. I ain't going to listen to them. I ain't going to listen to them. No, when I got saved, some things changed. Listen, I still fight my flesh. And every now and again, that thing will rear up on me. But listen, we try to get it under control. It's like one feller said, he had been in the Marines all of his life. He got just about all of his life. He had got saved. And he said, when I got saved, half my vocabulary changed on the spot. When God saves a man, he'll clean him up, won't he? Especially if he wants to learn about being cleaned up. What makes God happy? But she is really not much better than Micah was. Because not only was she cursing and blessing out of the same mouth, but she noticed, she said, blessed be thou of the Lord. So she is claiming that to know something about the Lord. And then she goes on to tell a story. She said, look, Micah, she said, that money I was going to give to you. She said, and when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, if we read on down through here and we see that Micah had a house of God. And it makes me think that she was going to give that whole 1,100 shekels and that to her son to make a molten and a graven image. Unto who? Unto the Lord, wasn't it? Remember what I said when I was reading this right here? There's just some things that don't make sense to me. There's some things in this passage of Scripture in people's thinking right here. She was going to dedicate the silver unto the Lord, but she's going to dedicate it in the very fact of making a graven image and a molten image. Seems a little counterintuitive, I think is the word. I have to ask my wife sometimes what words mean. I use them and then I wonder if I used them right, you know. But it seems like it's a little backwards. Take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Most y'all should know this passage of Scripture if you've been in Sunday school. Exodus chapter 20. Now, we're really going to shout it out on this message, by the way, okay? Just thought I'd warn you about that. Exodus chapter 20, Moses has received, or is in the process of receiving the law. They've just come up out of the land of Egypt. And God has started giving them some of the law. Now, he's not went up on Mount Horeb yet, but he is giving them part of the law. And they come to Mount Sinai. Let me say that. And he has given Moses part of the law right here. And God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now notice it, the word out was used twice right there. You know, when we got saved, we got brought out, didn't we? Things got made different. We got brought out of bondage. We got brought out of sin. Yeah, we still contend with the sin. We still fight with sin. We still deal with our fleshly desires and that trying to drag us off into sin. But at least we've been brought out of that thing. And the very first thing God says in verse 3 is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make not unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations, generation unto them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So the very first thing that God told the children of Israel to do or not to do is don't have a graven image. Don't make a graven image. The book of Leviticus chapter 26, he said, you shall make you no idols, nor graven image, and neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. So, the truth of the matter was, is they were already headed down the wrong path, wasn't they? We find that he is a dishonest man, but his mother is not in much of a better shape, if any at all. I don't know if she still had a lot of Egypt in her. I think there's a lot of people just still got a lot of Egypt left in them. You know, the problem they had coming out of the land of Egypt, that generation that came out of the land of Egypt, they always wanted to go back. They always wanted to rear them up a God that they could look at and that they could see and that they could touch. Why? Because that's what they learned down in the land of Egypt. You remember what Aaron done after Moses and that goes up on Mount Horeb over there to receive the law? He's been gone for 40 days and 40 nights and he's up there receiving the law of God and what God has to say. And they come over there to Aaron and they say, we don't know what's happened to Moses, this man Moses that led us out of the land of Egypt. They said, make us some gods. So he said, all right. Break off the gold that's in your sons and your daughters and your wives' ears and bring them down here. And he took it and he melted them down and he graven them a molten calf over there and he raised it up. And he said, this is the God that brought you up out of the land of Egypt. No wonder God got mad at that point. I mean, when that happened, God looked down from heaven and he reached over there and he tapped Moses on the head and he said, the people that you delivered out of Egypt. That's what he told me. Go back and look at that. He said, the people you brought out of Egypt, Moses. He was mad. God was mad. He said, you know what they've done, Moses? He said, they made them a molten calf down there. And they're worshiping that thing. And he was mad. Now, I want you to notice something right here. Said she dedicated it all wholly unto the Lord to make this molten image. Now therefore I will, he said, therefore, she said, I'll restore it unto thee, yet he restored the money unto his mother. So they were saying, no, I'll give it to you, and he said, no, I'll give it to you, and so when he gave it back to his mother, look what happened. And his mother took 200 shekels of silver. That's a far cry from the 1100, ain't it? Reckon what she done with the other 900, 9, 10, 11, yeah, that's right, I had my math right. Reckon what she done with, reckon she put it in her pocketbook. What are you getting at for? She was going to wholly dedicate it to the Lord, but now all of a sudden we went from 1,100 shekels to 200 shekels. I don't think the Lord really cared at this point what she'd done with that money if she was going to make a graven image out of it. He didn't care whether she took all 1,100. I mean, I'm sure that he cared, but I mean, he wasn't going to get the glory out of it nohow. And so they end up making a 200 shekel weight of a gun. And that brings me to point number two. Not only was he a dishonest man, but Micah was a religious man. See, there's a lot of people out here that don't know the Lord. And there's a lot of people out here that ain't serving the Lord the way they need to, but they're religious. There's a lot of folk religious. You know that man has a desire. He has something innate and built inside of him that he wants to worship. Man wants to worship. He may worship himself. He may worship his family. He may worship gold medals. He may worship sports stars, rock stars. He may worship the trees and nature. He may look up to heaven and worship astrology. He may worship science. But I'll guarantee you, man's going to worship something. There is something inside of you that wants to worship. I believe God put it inside of us to do that. We just got to get our worship right. And the thing about it is he's a religious man because the Bible tells us right here after he said there was no king or before that there was no king, it was said, and the man Micah had an house of gods. That makes me think that this wasn't in his house. This makes me think that he had his own house of gods. This makes me think that he built his own tabernacle. This makes me think he had his own church house that he had set up. There's a lot of people, if they could, they'd build their own church house in their backyard. Amen. Now, let me say that during this time right now that we're living in, we're doing the best that we can with what's going on, ain't we? And we've tried our best to worship at home and do what we need to do and try to make it through. But that's not church, friend. That's not church. God never intended for us to sit in front of a TV screen and worship. God never intended that. God intended for His people to come together. He always, and I mean, look, Hebrews chapter 10, I said, forsaken not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approach, He wanted us together together. I understand that the world thinks that we can just listen to the radio and that we can hear and watch and all these things, and you can, and that's great. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have done anything different, but what I'm saying is when the time arises, it's time to come and gather together and be with God's people. But Micah has built his own church, if you'd let me say that. He had a house of gods, didn't he? Reckon what those gods were. I wondered about that. You know, the land of Canaan had a multitude of gods. The land of Canaan had a bunch of them over there. I mean, they had from Baal to Ashtaroth. I mean, Baal was the god of fertility, and it seems like they worshipped him all the time. Ashtaroth showed up, and I mean, there was just a multitude down in the land of Egypt. All those gods that they worshipped, all those plagues that God performed down in the land of Egypt had something to do against them gods down there. They'd worship the sun, the moon, the stars. We have people that do that today, don't we? It's called astrology. They read the tarot cards. Read your palm. Tell your fortune. You want to know your fortune? Serve God and you'll be blessed. I can tell you that right now. How do you know that book says so? I mean, if you're saved, serve God. If you ain't saved, you need to get saved and then start serving God. But Micah was a religious man. Reckon how he learned about this right here. Notice what it said. And Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. So he has set some things up just like the house of God in the land of Shiloh. How do you know? Well, he's made a priest out of his son, and he's put ephod on. That ephod was kind of like they call it the ephod, the golden girdle. You know, if you go back and look in the Old Testament there, the priest wore that thing, and David even wore it when he wanted to communicate with God and talk to the Lord, and he would wear that thing, and he made it. The Lord had it in the book of, was it Exodus or Numbers, and they set it out, and it had certain stones that represented the children of Israel, all those things, and God set it up that way. And there was one at the house of God that the priest that was in the house of God was to wear that thing. But Micah set up an ephod and a teraphim, which is an image. And he set up his son to be a priest, which did not fit in and that to Aaron's lineage. So you know, you remember the title of the message was a man named Micah trying to do it his way. I'm afraid a lot of times, even as God's people, if we're not careful, we'll get a little bit like Micah. We'll try to do things our way. Well, I think it ought to be like this, preacher. It ought to be like that. And even I get that way. I say, well, I think God would be happy with this or be happy with that. And I've never opened my book and I've never talked to Him about it to even find out if that's what He'd be happy with. Just something I want to do. He said, well, this is pretty simple to understand. We know that he was serving other gods, and we know that that ain't right. And listen, he might have known that it wasn't right, but listen, his mother was in on the deal too. Seems like this was a family affair, wasn't it? See, when you've been taught this your whole life, or you've been taught it this way a little bit along the way, and it's all been combined together. You know why church is the way that it is in a lot of places today? Because we've tried to combine worship and the world together at the same time. Take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus chapter 32. Some of y'all know where I'm going. I've preached on this, or preached at it, let me say that, over the years. In Exodus chapter 32. What's going on right here in Exodus 32? Just what I talked about a few minutes ago with Moses and with the children of Israel. They have made their God that brought them up out of the land of Egypt. So that's what they said. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Uh-oh. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, now look, I've got this underlined in my Bible. And look what it says. Tomorrow is a feast to who? To the Lord. Is that what your Bible says? Somebody help me out. Now, is that what your Bible says? That's what it says, right? And they rose up early on tomorrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. We've got a meshing together. And that of idol worship. And trying to serve God at the same time. Read on down through him, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people. Notice what he said. Thy people. Not my people, Moses. He said, thy people. Which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. God didn't want to have nothing to do with them right here. I think God has a sense of humor sometimes. But I'm telling you, God was angry. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. God got no glory out of that at all. Even though they said tomorrow is going to be a feast day unto the Lord, they were trying to combine and that idol worship and worship of the true and living God. And let me say this, it'll never work that way. You cannot bring worldly things into worship. You cannot bring worldly things into your life. You cannot live in the world and out of the world at the same time. No man serve two masters, he'll love one and hate the other, cleave to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to just have to choose and pick who you're going to serve. Well, what they were trying to do was try to cover all sides. I thought about kind of like when Paul stood over on Mars Hill in Acts 17 around all the Athenians over there. He said, as I walked by, he said, I seen the idol to the unknown God. They wanted to cover all their bases. And he said, it's the unknown God that I want to declare. Him I'm going to declare unto you. The one you don't know. And so Micah was a religious man. It said he made him an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. He set things up kind of like church, but he was off just a little bit. Actually, he's off a whole lot. The Bible goes on to tell us that there was no authority in that day. In those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So he was trying to do the best that he could. Or was he? He done what was right in his own eyes. But I'm going to be honest with you, what's right in our eyes don't make it right. You understand what I'm saying? Just because we say it's right don't make it right. And just because Micah made the thought that he was doing right still didn't make it right. And that brings me to point number three. Micah was a misguided man. The Bible says in verse 7, and there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned. Now, if you was here for Sunday school this morning, you'll find out that the Levites done the work in the tabernacle and in the temple. They presented the showbread, took care of the showbread. They done all the service work in the temple. The priest, he done the sacrificing. He done all the work on the altar. He went into the holies of holies. He done all that. But the Levites took care of everything. They were the workers. If you let me say that. You go over to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 16, you find a man by the name of Korah who stood up against Moses and against Aaron, and they said, you take too much on for yourself. I said, you're holy, but I'm telling you, all the congregation is holy. He said, you just do too much, Moses. And Moses looked at him and he said, if it was a light thing for you being a Levite that God gave you work to do in the temple over there or in the tabernacle, and said, now you want the job of the priest also. The Levite's job was just to serve. Just to serve. You know what all our job is? Serve. Most people don't like to serve. Most people like to tell. Amen. You know one of the greatest things you'll ever have and you'll learn how to be is to have a servant's heart and to become a servant. Why do you think over in the book of 1 Corinthians, is it over in 1 Corinthians where he talks about not many noble or called, not many mighty, not many wise? Why is that? Because those type of people have a hard time being a servant. I'm not saying it don't happen and that it can't happen. I'm just saying that a lot of people in high places have a hard time becoming a servant. They got to learn how to be a servant. You know, to have a servant's heart, you got to have a heart that's turned toward the Lord, don't you? Because you got to want one that's going to want to please Him. Micah was a religious man, but he was a misguided man. There's a lot of religious, good people out here, but they're just misguided. They're misguided about salvation, what it takes to get to heaven. They're weighing their morals out. That may be you this morning. You might be weighing your morals and your goodness out before the Heavenly Father. And I'm going to tell you what. He's going to tell you that you're unjust in all of it and that you're wicked and evil before Him. But if you'll come to Christ Jesus the Lord, He's the one that can clean you and make you holy today. So Micah, he's got him a Levite coming by. And Micah said unto him, which comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. That word sojourn just means to be passing through. He said, wherever I can find a stay, I'm going to stay. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite and said, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Now I want you to understand what's going on. Micah has already made one of his sons a priest, but he's got a Levite now, the one that dwells and one that serves in the house of God, one that was in the lineage to serve and do what God wanted over there in the tabernacle. And he said, why don't you just come in and just become a priest unto me? Now, can I tell you that was not the Levite's position to become a priest? But we're so, here's a word that my daddy used a lot of times, we're so convoluted in this whole situation right here that I don't think it mattered at this point. He had already consecrated one of his sons. He'd already made an ephod. He had already made a house of gods. He's got a little god set up. Might have had big gods. I don't know. I set up in his own tabernacle or house, however you want to say it. And he's worshiping there. And he said, boy, now I've got me a Levite to come in. And so he made him a priest. And here's how I said he was misguided. If you look in verse 13. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. He said, man, I've got it made now. He said, God will surely bless me I've got a Levite to be my priest. God bless me for that thing. God wasn't nowhere around that thing. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people think that God's going to bless them. I'll tell you what, there was a couple that I worked with years ago when I was 19, 20, and 21 years old. Just a young man, still a young preacher, and I didn't get saved until I was 14, so at 19, 20, 21, man, I didn't know a lot. Still don't know a lot, but I know more now than I did then. I will tell you that. And if you can't say that, shame on you. You ought to know, you ought to be able to say, I know more now than I did when I got saved. You ought to be able to say that. But I remember, I had this couple that worked there at the plant, her and her husband, they had lost their kids, and I don't know what all was going on in that house. Man, they were drug users and all kinds of things. But I remember she come in one day, and they had been talking about going to church and all this, and they go to church one time. Hadn't been in years and go to church one time, and she said, I'm not going back. I went to church, and I didn't get my kids back. Now, people think that way. They think because they've done a token favor and asked God to show up one time on one Sunday that you ain't been in 30 years, that God's just supposed to change the world for you because you showed up one time. I think Micah's got the same thought pattern. Boy, I've got me a Levite to my priest now. And now I know God will be happy with me. I know God will be happy with me. Boy, I've done better right here. I've quit this habit. And I know God will love me for that. Let me say this. If you're saved and it's a bad habit, you need to quit it. You just need to stop it. Whatever it may be, I mean, you just need to quit. God will be happy with you if you do, if you're doing it for Him and because you want to better your testimony for Him. You know, that's one of the reasons I quit smoking. Because it was going to ruin my testimony if it hadn't already been doing it for the folk that knew. I'm not beating you up. I'm just telling you, that's why I done what I done. But you know, there's a lot of people out here that ain't even saved. And boy, they got an idea. They said, boy, if I do this and I do this, God will like me for that. Or if I do this. There's a lot of people in church that are saved. And they have the same mentality right there. But their heart just, it ain't there. You can quit doing everything in the world. But if your heart ain't turned to the Lord, it won't matter. It's a heart issue. It's always been a heart issue. Even under the law, it was a heart issue. He wants our heart turn toward Him. Book of Deuteronomy tells us something. He told me in Book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, not only to do His Word, but before He said to do His Word, He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. The very first thing He wanted you to do was love Him, and then He laid the Word out. Because if you love Him, you'll keep the Word. But here's Micah. Boy, he's misguided and got a misconception, don't he? Am I making sense today? Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay, just making sure. So here's Micah. He said, boy, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And boy, he was all kinds of wrong, wasn't he? So, make a long story short, if you look in chapter 18, you find that the tribe of Dan was looking for some property. And so they send out 5 spies, and in the meanwhile, while those 5 spies are going out, they come by Micah's house over on Mount Ephraim. And they heard the Levite in there talking. And they knew that Levite. You know, it's a small world, ain't it? And they heard him talking, and they knew who he was. And so they turn in, and they say, hey, what's going on? You go read the chapter sometime. And so the Levite began to tell him, this is what's going on. Said, you know, he's got a house of gods, and he's made me his priest, and he gives me money, and give me a place to stay, and he treats me like one of his sons. And they said, well, okay. And so they go on about their way. And they go over and they find the land that they want to take. And so they come back after all. They go out and spy out the land. They come back and they get their valiant men. They got 600 valiant men that's going to come and go take the land. And then meanwhile, they all come back through Mount Ephraim, all 600 of them, and they come to Micah's house. And look with me in chapter 18. And let's look. Look at verse 17. And the five men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering end of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. Now what's happened? You got 600 men standing here that's got their weapons, and these five men go in over at Micah's house, and they go into his house of gods, and they just take everything. They take it all. Now let me say this. Micah has invested some money in this thing too, by the way. I mean, I'm sure there might have been some carved out of wood, but he's invested some silver and possibly some gold. He's invested money in this stuff. And verse 18 says, and these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And then said the priest unto them, what do ye? So this Levite says, what are you doing? And they said unto him, hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us and be to us a father and a priest. It is better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel. And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. He was just going wherever the money was, wasn't he? A lot of people that way. A lot of preachers that way. They're just going wherever the money is. You know, it's like one preacher that pastored a little church. Big church called him, going to give him more money, a lot more money. And he went and met with the men, the deacons of the church, and they said, we'd like to have you. And he said, well, I'll have to go home and pray about it. Talk to my wife and pray about it. And so he goes home, and he walks in the door and tells his wife the story. And he said, they want me to come. And the pastor said, I've got to go pray about it. He said, what I want you to do is while I'm praying, you be packing. Some of y'all catch on to that here in a little bit. So they turned and departed and put little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. And when they were in a good way, when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. So Micah and his neighbors took off. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said to Micah, what aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? And he said, ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and you are gone away. And what have I more? And what is this that you're saying to me? What aileth thee? I know they said, what's wrong with you? Why are you coming after us? What's the matter with you? And why are you got so many people with you? And the children of Dan said to him, let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life, and the lives of thy household. And the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back unto his house. And they took the things which Micah had made, and the priest which he had, and came to Laish, and unto a people that were quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. Now we talk about the people of Laish, but we're not going to do that today. That's another message for another time. But notice they took everything Micah had. And they took his priest. And so you come down here to verse 30. And the children of Dan set up the graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan under the day of captivity of the land. And they set up them at Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. You remember what Micah said? He said, I've got a priest to my, he said, I've got a Levite to my priest. I've got all these gods right here. Man, I know for a fact God will bless me. What happened? Micah lost it all, didn't he? There's a lot of people, and I think there's folks sitting in church today think they're doing God a token favor and they're worshiping Him their way. They're doing for God what they want to do in their time frame and in their own path and in their own way. They really think they're doing God something, when really they've never asked God nothing about it. When's the last time that you just talked to the Lord and said, Lord, what do you want out of my life? What do you want out of my family? What do you want out of us? I think God would be very pleased with us. And listen, if you know that you're right where you need to be, then you need to be doing what you need to be doing, then get after it. But Micah was very misguided. I'm going to tell you, out of this whole thing that's going to shake out on this coronavirus, this COVID-19, there's going to be some people that's going to listen to the devil, and he's going to tell them, see, I told you all the time you could worship right here at your house. That's what he's going to tell them. And they're going to believe that. See, I told you all the time, you didn't have to go to church. You didn't have to go sing. You didn't have to listen to preaching. You could just get ministered to it. It don't work that way. Now, we've done what we could, how we could. And by the way, let me say this. Let me stop right and park right here for just a second. It's not about seeing. It's about hearing. That's why the radio is so important. You don't have to see the messenger. You need to hear the message. See, it's not about seeing me. It's not about seeing the Sunday school teacher. But it's about seeing God. It's the message that is important. Now, we do what we can, how we can. But listen, is this going to go out on video today? Listen, I know there's still folk that are quarantining and are quarantining for a reason. That's not the people I'm talking about. I'm talking about those people that when this goes out, there's going to be some that have grown cold and indifferent on God because of this situation. What did I tell you from the beginning of this thing? You're going to have to strive yourself to stay right with God. You've got to do that. I can't make you do that. Even if you're coming to church, I can't make you stay right with God. I have a hard time with me staying right with God. Listen, Micah, he was a dishonest man, but he got right with his mother there. But he was a religious man. But he was a misguided man. I don't want us to get into that position. The longer this thing rocks on and the more people stay away from God, the more that's liable to happen in folks' lives. They just give him a little token worship or whatever they think he might appreciate. But it don't work that way. I hope you're not like that today. You're here today, and I thank you for that. But let me tell you this, that you may think that your salvation rests in something that you've done or that you're doing, but it don't. It rests in Christ Jesus the Lord. And His righteousness today. Have you ever been saved? Let's bow our head this morning.